The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Down to Biscay. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Hi, welcome back to Five on the Floor. I guess we are live, unless you're listening on podcast feeds the next day. Today's floor plan, I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. We have Greg Sylvander. You can follow me at Greg Sylvander. Alex Toledo, you can follow me at Tropical Blanket. And Brady Hawk, you can follow up Brady Hawk 305. The Miami Heat lose 114 to 108 in Dallas. First game of a two-game trip. Game against OKC is coming up. A very winnable game tonight. I think we'll start there. And I've noticed a trend. Whenever the Heat have one of those first quarters where they're clicking offensively, they lose. I wish there was a way to empirically – well, there probably is – empirically check this out. Maybe it's just a gut feel that I have on this, but it's almost like things were too smooth in the first quarter. But one guy was not particularly involved in that, which was Jimmy Butler, and then that kind of carried over until it was too late. But we'll get into all the specifics of this game and what happened. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, we will take your comments as well. Miami had a chance. They pulled even after falling behind by 11 late in the third quarter. And the game was there for them. And then a series of things happened. Some of them were Luka-related. And some of them, unfortunately, for the Heat, were Bam-related. One of Bam's worst games in a while, particularly down the stretch. And we'll get in again to that. And then, of course, we'll talk about our gamer of the night, who's the guy who kept them in it. But before we go further, and we'll talk about him next, Greg, I'll go to you on this. This is the kind of game where, like, you know, they're playing against a good West team that has struggled of late, okay, that has not played well defensively, that's been going through kind of an existential crisis. I mean, a lot of criticism of the head coach and whether the trades worked at the deadline. It's the kind of game that I feel like Miami is going to play in the playoffs, and I was waiting for the takeover when they pulled even. And then it's just a series of mistakes. And we're going to focus on Bam some. But also Caleb, who did a lot of really good things to get them back in it, committed kind of a silly foul
really
at the end. Really bad foul. I mentioned, Jimmy kind of waiting too long to really engage in this game, and they just they didn't execute, but it just seems like they didn't focus.
Yeah.
In those last few minutes.
Well, it's a combination of Jimmy and Bam being as pedestrian as we've seen them be in quite some time, both in their different ways. I thought Bam made some really careless mistakes late. Jimmy turnovers were an issue all night, and just overall aggressiveness. He shows the flashes because he's Jimmy, and that's what makes it frustrating at times. But otherwise, when you're playing a guy like Luka that can make those kind of tough shots, those momentum swinging plays that we saw happen tonight, it just ended up being a situation where the Heat got outplayed late. They played well enough offensively to win, I thought. It's just a situation where late there were plays made by Dallas, and they were at home. The Heat also got down in this game and had to claw their way back And so eventually that, you know, you keep clawing back, keep clawing back. You can't keep taking punches. Eventually you got to take a big blow to them. And the Heat just never got to that tonight. So ultimately a loss. And now they head to Oklahoma City, where it does not get any easier.
No, not in the second night of back-to-back against a young team like that with that kind of talent. Again, we're going to talk about the Rocky Esports Gamer of the Night in a second. And we'll also talk about Duncan's efficiency and some of the other things that went right tonight. But let's just say this before we go forward. And Brady, I'll let you tap in on this. Kevin Love needs to come back, man. Like, we spent a lot of time talking about Tyler Hero and you know, for a good reason, but you've talked about it. Like, they cannot afford to lose Kevin Love. Like, they have no answer at that spot whatsoever. Is there anything, because they can't survive those minutes. Like, those minutes killed them again tonight. Like, I'm watching Thomas Bryant. They're throwing him in pick and rolls. They're making him use his feet. It's just, I mean, it's as bad as the Deadman minutes got by the end. It's as bad as the Zeller minutes got by the end. Is there anything that Spo could have done tonight? Would you have used Jovic as a backup five? Like, what? Where could he have gone? Because the Bryant minutes, when you lose a game like this by six, but it was actually really a more of a one possession game until the very end, like, you cannot afford to have a guy on the floor who doesn't belong on the floor.
And the bigger problem is when we're sitting here talking about how bad Bam was and Thomas Bryant still stuck out and was a problem, like, that's even more problematic. Yeah, you just can't have that. That's why I made my case that I feel like Kevin Love's their most important role player for this very reason, because yeah, we can say that they have other options. And if there was an option, I mentioned it kind of at halftime, I felt like they could have went to shrunk the rotation, played Jovic as the backup five, let him find a little bit of rhythm. Cause we have this conversation where, like, okay, if he doesn't start, he doesn't play. But there's a thing also where if he does start and he does play, he's probably only going to get an 8 minute stint in each half, if that. So you better have like a good rhythm run, because if you don't, you're not getting back in the game. And it just felt like a game where they could have survived it a little bit if they were going to stay in zone anyway and just try to figure it out. Because like you said, as much as Miami was going at Luka early in the game, the Mavericks were going at Thomas Bryant, and they were kind of making. And then you talked about a foul from Caleb late in the game, like plays like the one where you know, Thomas Bryant jumps out of the corner shooter and fouls him when they were kind of building a little bit of momentum. Like, that stuff, it just kind of sucks the air out of the arena a little bit. Like, it's tough to move past that. So, I mean, Kevin Love, get healthy. But like I said before, like, you kind of have to just roll with the punches with this right now, so we're not talking about this in the playoffs. Like, let Kevin Love get healthy now. Let's talk about these bad decisions now with their backup five, so that, you know, in April we're not having this conversation. But to quickly say something on the Bam Jimmy thing, number one, we have this conversation every single year when they play in Dallas, because this same thing happens in Dallas every year. It's they pack the paint on Jimmy. Jimmy doesn't look like Jimmy. Jimmy has trouble scoring. It's just the issue was this time Bam was right there with him, and Bam was even worse with the scoring and the inefficiency. But they have this thing where they basically just, they'll send help from the opposite weak side box, and they'll just kind of make Jimmy shoot mid-range jumpers or make Bam shoot like tough jumpers in that range. And the issue I had with it is not the fact that that Bam and Jimmy are missing shots, because that's going to happen. If we're sitting here talking about inefficiency, it is what it is. But I didn't feel like that was the problem. The problem felt like if you, in this certain coverage, if you take your time and throw up four pump fakes, or if you're not like having the first thought to try and get to your spot and score, if you even have like a semi thought to stop that, they have you right where they want you. Like, they just do. So there's too many times where Jimmy and Bam are sitting in this range and spinning and pivoting and pump faking. And it's like, that is the one thing that this coverage wants you to do. So it just literally felt like a rerun of the last, you know, this podcast is going to feel like a rerun of the last four times that they played in Dallas in the regular season. It just happens every time.
Well, it actually feels like it goes back even further. Earlier than Jimmy and Bam, I covered a lot of games in Dallas that, for whatever reason, went the wrong direction, going all the way back to Bumpgate with different rosters and all the rest of that. But it does feel like Kidd, for whatever the criticisms of him are, and there are a lot of criticisms of him from Dallas fans and media right now, he has a handle on Jimmy. He does. I think the way that they guard him is something that other teams are going to look at. And there was this one sequence where, like, they just, when the game started to get away, but when they pushed up to 11 before they got it back under control. And again, Caleb had a lot to do with that, as did Jimmy, and so did Jaquez. But there was that one sequence where they all were not looking at the basket. Like, they, like Bam kicked it out. Jimmy kicked it out. Everybody's kicking the ball out. Nobody's going towards the basket. When you have opportunities against a team like this to score inside, you've got to go. And they just didn't go enough. All right, Alex, I'm going to go to you next. But let's tee this up first because we do want to mention this great sponsor because we're going to be there tomorrow night.
And now on Five on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500-square-foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all-day passes available for just $25, but if you mention Five Reasons, it's just $20. So mention Five Reasons or 5RSN. You get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
All right, I do want to mention, we are going to be there tomorrow night. Alex just threw it up there. 5 o'clock for the 2K tournament. So play against us and others. I don't know if I'm going to go against Brady again. That was embarrassing for me. But we're going to have a 2K tournament. We will have prizes. And then afterwards, stick around. So we're doing the 2K tournament first this time and then watching the game after. So come down. We understand there's traffic getting to Palmetto Bay. But, you know, leave early. Get there. Hang out with us. And then stick around for the game. And if you don't make the 2K tournament, you can still come down and watch the game with us 8 o'clock on a Friday night. There will be food, drinks, and everything else at Rock Esports Center. All right, the Gamer of the Night is easy tonight. This is the easiest one we've had in a long time. Terry Rozier was outstanding. 40 minutes, 27 points on 10 of 17 shooting, 5 of 8 from 3. I told you he's streaky, man. He'll have these games and then he'll go 1 of 17 in his next few. So don't get too used to it, but he does have these kind of games. 6 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, no turnovers. No turnovers. We're going to get more into Bam here in a second because I do feel like that's in a lot of ways the story of the end of the game. But Alex, I mean, Terry's getting his legs under him, right?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, this is probably easily the most impressive game he's had in a Heat uniform. And I know a lot of people have been down on him lately. I haven't. I think he's been pretty good overall. Not that he's been, like, all the way where he needs to be as far as the shooting. And you saw that tonight. Like, he is capable of getting real hot from down there. And I think his game in general, and we've talked about this plenty, is just something that the Heat have been missing for a while, where it's just, like, the extra, you know, extra layer of chaos and, you know, obviously the rim pressure and playmaking. It's somebody who, you saw it tonight, Jimmy and Bam both struggled, both had bad offensive games. Bam was 5 of 14 or whatever it was. And Jimmy, you know, only had 2 free throw attempts, had, I think, 6 turnovers, like just bad offensive games from your 2 best players. Everybody else played great. And Terry was at the top of that. I mean, I'm not going to say everybody, but a lot of the other players that played a lot of minutes tonight for the Heat played really well. And Terry, 27 points again, 11 assists, 0 turnovers, 2 steals, even the 6 rebounds. All of that is extremely impressive. I thought he was the reason that this game kind of didn't get out of hand when the Mavs made those runs, I think, in the second quarter. And then again, the bigger one in the third quarter when they got outscored by, what was it, 12. Like, Terry was the one. And then once again in the fourth, like, he was the one that kept getting them buckets and kept generating stuff for them. And, you know, he had like 3 or 4 lobs tonight. He was just, you know, he was really getting going out there. I thought he was awesome. And, you know, it's one of those games where I think this is going to help him get going a little bit. It's one of those where, like, I feel it probably gets your confidence to a certain degree. Not that Terry struggles with confidence or anything like that, but, you know, he's really getting going here. And you can see the ways that he can really impact an offense. And again, in a night where Jimmy and Bam were awful, I think if they just gave you, like, just below average games, even, right, Jimmy and Bam offensively, I think you probably win. I think they made some mistakes, and especially that Caleb foul at the end was, you know, that kind of killed any of their chances. But Terry was the one keeping them in there, because, like you said earlier, Ethan, that first quarter, you know, it was nice. Everything came so effortlessly for the Heat, and it was very smooth. But then they only scored, what was it, 22 in the second. And once their offense, you know, fell off a cliff, I think their defense was struggling too. And I think the big difference tonight was the transition play. And I think that's where the Mavs really got going. They were getting a lot of stuff in transition and semi-transition. And when you look at the numbers in the half court, like, the Heat and Mavs shot pretty similarly. Like the Heat shot had a great 3-point shooting night, 46% from three. And then you look at their mid-range, 9 of 25, which is really tough. And the Mavs made 5 more of those than you. You made 4 more at the rim than the Mavs did. So, like, everything was kind of even there. The Mavs also shot really well from three. The transition play, to me, is what separated this game on top of, you know, Jimmy and Bam not being enough. Terry was fantastic.
Well, there were other guys. You mentioned it that played well tonight. Let's start with Duncan. 7 of 10 from the floor. 5 of 8 from 3 for 19, 4, and 2. Foul trouble took him out of it a little bit. I thought Spo waited a little too long to get him back in. There was that lineup in the fourth quarter that had no spacing until they got Duncan back in the game. Jovic was okay. Nothing special. Hakez, I thought, had one of his better games in terms of just going to the basket, attacking. Plus, he made the three threes at 13 points, 6 rebounds. And again, Caleb had some moments. He ended up fouling out of the game, had the terrible foul at the end, but he had the one situation where he locked up Kyrie, which was terrific, and he had the huge three during that stretch when they made it back in. But let's pivot back to Bam, okay? Because Gab Cartagena was on playback, and I want to run this by you, Brady, and then we'll circle around on this. Is that, you know, we can talk about, you know, him taking enough shots, not taking enough shots. I see in the chat some are saying 14 shots is too much for him. They want him taking 15 plus. There's been that conversation over the past few years. So him taking 14 shots is not the problem. The problem to me is the decisiveness. And then again, sometimes he's indecisive and then sometimes he rushes. But Gad, I thought, hit on it. And it's not even something I've really thought about. But now that I'm starting to, he won't use his left. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor and the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We know that the Miami Heat, they're typically pretty careful with their money. They don't overpay for players, kind of keep it in the range. But there have been mistakes. Think back to Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, to name a few. Well, you don't want to make a mistake with your hard-earned cash. You don't want to get a service or a product that's overpriced or underperforms. That's why we recommend Harry's. Harry's razors, I use them. Why do I use them? Because, well, I can't really grow a beard. It takes me forever. It looks ridiculous. So I want to make sure that it's shaved properly. So I look somewhat presentable when I'm going to the Heat games. You can check out Harry's as well. German engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. Customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for the other big brands. And you can get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/5. That's right. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/5. Again, that's harrys.com/5 for a $3 trial set.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Around the basket. And Gad's theory on this, and he said this on playback just before we got off, was that teams are locked into that now. And so that's maybe some of the reason for the inefficiency. He missed that bunny at the end. He just looked out of sorts at the end of that game. Brady, I'll go to you first. Do you see anything different there from him or the way that teams are guarding him?
Different. Not really. I mean, a lot of the shots he's taking are, you know, everybody talks about like it being somewhat inefficient shots. So it's just like about some of them going in or not. But the one trend that I do see, and it's not even really, you know, coverage related, he's had a lot of rough first halves recently. Like, I literally will sit next to Alex at these home games and tell him, like, every game he'll be like 3 for 10 at halftime and then end up with 22 points. And it's like, credits him for picking it up second half. And that ends up being the topic of the night most times because they end up winning. But he really has kind of struggled a lot of these first halves to find a flow that I even think back to a certain point in the season where a large pocket of the season, the first play of the game was the same play every game where they set the cross screen for Bam. Bam gets in the mid range and gets a shot. Why did they do that? Well, it's a good action, but it's also because, hey, we need Bam to get a flow offensively for everything around us to work. That's just what needs to be done because, yeah, they shot at an ungodly level in that first quarter. But like the truth was they had nobody that was putting pressure from Jimmy and Bam in the paint that was going to like make that work long term in that game. You need Bam and Jimmy and these guys to do that. So they really just need Bam to kind of hit those type of shots. They need him to attack. I mean, the one positive thing I could say about it is there, and I don't even know if this is positive, but like he definitely doesn't get, a good whistle. Like, so if he's like just putting his head down and attacking like that, like it's not going to get him anywhere. So he kind of has to be forced to take some, smarter shots in different ranges. But the left thing is interesting because that's kind of feeds into kind of what I was saying. Like he waits those extra half seconds, extra seconds where he's pump faking to kind of get back to that baby right hook or trying to get back to where he finds positioning to try to rise up and dunk over the top of you. Like he kind of waits a little bit too long in this type of matchup. There's certain matchups you can get away with it. This is just a tough one, but no win or loss, no matter what, like they legitimately need Bam to not be in his head. And I felt like, to your point, Ethan, because you hit on it, like he kind of seemed out of sorts. I felt like he was in his head in this entire game, and it just puts you in a tough spot because defensively, I felt like at the beginning of that game, he was doing things in drop that you wanted him to do. They started, messing with coverages, and Luka's just such a handful to deal with. But it all came down to what he was going to give you offensively, and it just felt like he was out of his spots.
We're going to go back to you on this, Greg. We do see a couple comments in here that one of our viewers met the great Marco Romo at the game today. So
very cool.
We had Marco covering in Dallas, although Marco, last two times I've set Marco, the result has not been good for the Heat. So he might be permanently banned. Greg, I don't want to overreact on the Bam stuff with some of the things I'm seeing in the chat. This is post All-Star game Bam. We saw him tail off a little bit after the All-Star game last year. I have noticed what Brady's noticed, that he doesn't get off to particularly good starts of late. But I think that the bigger issue is what I don't want to see. Okay, everybody's talking about, 14 shots too many. No, what I don't want to see is him being indecisive. And I saw a lot of that late. And the indecisiveness leads to the inaccuracy from him. Like that's the way it always looks to me.
I agree. And I think that tonight was just a glaring example, but he's getting it out of his system so that by the time April rolls around, he'll be in good shape. That's kind of how I'm approaching this. I think that he's shown that he has evolved his game year over year in ways, and I think he'll continue to do that. And so this has obviously been a rough stretch post All-Star break. Bam, people talk about that being a thing. Ultimately, they've still had deep playoff runs as to him being their second best player. And I think that'll continue. So, like, I'm not going to overreact. But tonight, he was awful. There was too many missed shots.
He was.
We don't need to necessarily say that there's a problem here. But but tonight, it was an issue.
I mean, we just keep coming back to it. Like, we can talk about all the role guys and the rotation stuff and everything else, and if their two best players don't play well, they don't typically win. I mean, particularly against decent teams on the road. Like, you had both things tonight that you can't have, which is you had a passive Jimmy early in the game because this team takes its energy from him, and when he's not showing it early, even though they're efficient, and I really do want to look it up and see if there's anything to the fact that whenever they get off to hot shooting starts, they end up falling apart offensively as the game progresses. It does feel like that. When things are easy early, they don't grind the games out the way that they should as the games go on.
They don't want to lead actually offense.
No, and Jimmy's actually referenced that in the past. He's referenced that whenever they get a big lead, he doesn't feel good about it. And of course, they were up, I think, as much as 12 in the first. And this comes in from that guy, Ellie. Establishing Jimmy would have been nice too. Yes, but Jimmy has to establish himself. Like, there's a little of both, and we're going to get to the play of the night, because it allows us to talk about the other guy who did establish himself.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette Play of the Night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at insurancebylynette.com.
All right. To be honest, really, the play of the night that killed him was the XM3, because that's the one you're not expecting, the one that came from 28 feet. Mm-hmm. But we do have to reference Luka here. 35 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists, and that thing he threw over his shoulder from the corner. Was he out of bounds on that, Alex? I don't know. There was some that saying that was a Struess play and that he got away with it. It was a big shot, actually, in terms of the turning the tenor of the game.
I'm not sure about the out of bounds part, but that shot was just ridiculous, man. It was just insane. Luka is something else, man. Modern day Larry Bird, whatever you want to call it. Like, he's ridiculous.
He's gonna stay in Dallas when he's playing with Maxi Kleber.
No,
Tim Hardaway Jr. was 3 of 11 tonight. I like Lively, but he played 23 minutes. Gafford, who they just picked up, I guess Derek, our old friend DJJ, PJ Washington. Like, I mean, of course, Kyrie. Kyrie had 23 tonight and 9 of 19 shooting, but I don't know, Greg. I don't think he's winning anything there, right?
Here's my theory, and I'm okay to go on record with this. I believe that one day Luka and Joker are going to play together. So I don't know where that's going to be, but I believe that they'll play together. So maybe that's Denver.
Yeah, I think it's more likely
David Denver. Stern is going to turn over in his grave if that happens.
I think it's Denver. I don't think it's Dallas. I don't think Joker would bother to move, honestly. He said that at the All-Star game, right? He'll come to me, you know, at some point. Oh, look, Luka is remarkable in a lot of ways. I just wonder, God, if you got him,
it's gonna hurt if Denver gets Luka and it's not Miami, like whenever that happens.
Right. Would he be the first guy to go, like to choose a market like Denver, like a free agent like that, to go team up? It feels weird. Like that would be the first, right? I mean, Durant left OKC for a bigger market.
They probably would orchestrate.
LeBron left for a bigger market. Yeah, something like that. But anyway, look, the fact is 35, 11, and 11, they still should have won this game, because the Heat's two best players combined for 28, 13, and 10, 11 of 26 from the field. Again, good, not good enough. It's got to be better than that. We've talked about Bryant. What did you think of Jovic's 14 minutes, 16 minutes tonight, Brady?
I mean, the first stint I thought was really good. I mean, everybody's first stint was good because they were just clicking and shooting at a different level. But I thought like they were playing much faster than like they have in a long time in that first quarter. Like just watching Terry and Nico bring the ball down, like they were really moving. They were slipping back door. They were cutting. They were finding opportunities. And the offense just kind of hit a wall after that. So that's why I was like, I felt like if there was a time to play Nico and bring him back in for that second stint, it would just be instead of Thomas Bryant, let him run the second unit, let him just sit in the back of the zone and let him run the offense a little bit and see if you could create some spacing. Because the issue with the not to pile on Thomas Bryant or anything, but it was like the little bit of the problems was the spacing issue because, you know, he's in the corner spotting up for three and shooting them, but he's like his defender's on the opposite corner. So like that becomes a problem spacing wise. And you have a guy like Nico that you can obviously run as your, you know, point guard and in setting up your sets that the spacing would just open up. So, I mean, I thought he looked good. Like I said, in that first stint, the second half, it seemed like he was still trying to find his flow again. And it feels like it's always like that. But Ethan, as we say, like he's playing in a lineup with Jimmy and Bam, who are, you know, even on a night that they're not playing well, need the ball in their hands. Terry had the ball in his hands more than we've seen in a Heat uniform tonight because he was in that type of flow. And Duncan didn't miss. So, like, there's only so much opportunity for him to have the ball where it's like, let him play in that other lineup instead of Thomas Bryant, where he's actually having the ball in his hand and making an impact. So I thought he was fine.
I never want to see them sign another slow-footed center that Spo allows to take threes. Never again. Agree.
Ethan, does he want him taking more threes?
I don't know, but it's the same thing that we said. It's the same thing we said about Deadman. It's literally, it's repeated itself now, except it's happened faster. Like, I mean, he hasn't thrown anything on the court like Dwayne did, but like, it's happened faster now. Like, at least Deadman had that stint that first year where he was really good, and we're like, oh, it's kind of cute that he can shoot the occasional three. I don't want to see Thomas Bryant. Like you said, they have so many options. I'm not saying they're a great offensive team, but they got a lot of guys who can do different things. The last thing I want to see is Thomas Bryant taking a three.
Yep.
There's no – like, Haywood Highsmith taking a three, I get it, because, like, if he's going to be left open, he has to take that shot. It's
correct.
The ball flows too. Those are going to be open, and he's got to make some of them to stay on the court. And he did play – I guess Haywood played 8 minutes tonight, very short stint. But Thomas Bryant should not – all he should be doing is rolling. That's it. Just roll on the offensive end and hope you get a dunk or two and hope he doesn't destroy you on the defensive end. And to be honest, I don't really understand why he went with Bryant ahead of Orlando Robinson tonight. I don't get it. Like, is he – I mean, I know Orlando was not great the last time he played, but I feel like he's at least – he doesn't kill you, right? Like, I don't – it's just –
tonight, Dallas has been really bad defensively, so maybe they thought they could get a spark from Thomas Bryant offensively tonight, because Dallas has been so, you know, frankly putrid lately. Mm. But, you know, like, obviously that didn't translate as the game went on. I'm with Brady. Go smaller. Play Nico. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't see any downside to that, and I also don't think that Dallas is overwhelming from a size perspective where you can't play Nico in that role.
Sometimes it just feels like Spo is just playing the bigs just to say to Pat, here, I played them.
Well, isn't that the issue when, like, you feel like, again, Jovic is not a five, and I'm not saying that he is, but like, he can't step up into that role, so you have to play another five there into those minutes. And I think that's where the problem is. It's like, if you had another vet big who could step in here that you felt better about, just for, like, you know, basically what they did with Patty Mills, right? Where it's like, you get an insurance policy just in case, you know, a shooter is out. If you had a vet big that you felt okay about, when somebody, you know, when a guy like K Love is out, they would probably be in a better position. And honestly, to me, like, their backup big problem with Orlando and Thomas, to me, like, both of those guys, their problem a lot of times has been, like, you know, we talk about their defense being an issue. I think the offense is a bigger issue with those guys. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of in the way. They're kind of in the way. And there was, like, one play, and I think early in the second half, if I remember correctly, where Jimmy, like, Thomas was about to come to set a screen for Jimmy up top. And then Jimmy told him, get out of here. Get out of here. Like, literally, there's no point for you coming in here and screaming. Like, nothing is going to come out of the role for Thomas Bryant. Jimmy's not going to have space to operate. And he already had so little space tonight. And not to excuse Jimmy and Bam, but I do think, like, it's not coincidental that they both really struggled tonight. And I do think it's relevant that I think a game plan that teams are going to go to, and we've talked about this before throughout the years, right? I think it's a, you know, not to give away the game, right? But I do think if you overload against the Heat, you pack the paint against Jimmy and Bam's actions, and you just, you know, you take away the short mid range from them and force them to spray it out, which the Heat took, I think, 47 threes tonight. Again, they made a ton, so it worked out. But I don't think that's the game that the Heat want to play. I don't think
they took 38, but which is a lot. Actually, Dallas took 41. Miami didn't help itself by going 11 of 17 from the line, by the way, which is uncharacteristic of them and did hurt them late. But I'll say this. If they got out-rebounded 45 to 37, but the big thing is offensive rebounding was 10 to 2 in favor of Dallas. And my thing is this. If you're going to get out-rebounded by that while you're playing an immobile, bad backup big – then, yeah, just go small. Like, if you're going to get out rebounded anyway, then just put Highsmith out there. Or, you know, if it's not even going to be Jovic, or just go with an extra guard for the hell of it. Just play DeLon Wright. But, like, playing the extra big does not help. Thomas Bryant does not help them rebound the ball. So, to me, there's no point to ever put him out there. And I'm past the point of trying these experiments. I just am. It's just, it doesn't, and I'm looking at the numbers. I know, Alex, you're going to tell me that, you know, again, don't look at individual plus minus for one game. I was just curious because I was trying, because we did used to always look at the dead minutes and that they would kill them. They were only a minus one in Thomas Bryant's minutes. It felt much worse than that for whatever reason, okay? Because sometimes when you're a minus one, you could have been a plus five because other guys were playing well. But this guy was, again, getting in the way. So I just don't see the point of it. Like you mentioned, one more backup big. Like, this is why we were talking about the likes of Thad Young or somebody who just could at least plug a hole in the front court. But, well, I know that's your guy. All right, well, let's mention the injury report here because it gets into the guy who was missed a lot today.
And now it's time for the official Five on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan. But the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
All right, we do have a turtle screaming into the void here. But we get it about the backup big. Spo usually isn't going to play any of them, even though he did tonight. All right, so the injury report, Tyler Hero, as you know, did not make the trip. We just did 48-minute podcast on him yesterday, Brady and I, so listen to that one. No need to go into more of it. When is he coming back? I have no idea. I really don't. This foot injury is mysterious. It's not even the thing I thought was hurt. So we're not sure if he'll be back, and I don't know if you're rushing him back to play against Washington on Sunday night. So I don't know that Tyler's going to be back this week. Kevin Love thing is more pressing, I think, at the moment, and we talked about it earlier in the podcast. Again, he told me he thought he broke the foot at first. That's what he told Spoelstra. Turned out to not to be so bad. He said it was. I said, when will you play? He says, as soon as it's not crazy sore. So he didn't think he would make the trip. I do think you could see Kevin back Sunday. I do think that you could see Kevin back Sunday, and that will help them a lot. And I just think that this is a conversation aggregated. This is a conversation I think that has to be had. We're laughing about it, Turtle, because he's got the whole backup big thing, and he still wants him to sign. I don't know. Who are they going to Dexter Pittman, Ronnie Turioff? No,
even though he's not available.
Mo Bamba, right. You can't just sign a guy who's not on the roster. But he knows that. But I do think that this offseason, they need to look at who they can play at that spot. Not just who fills a quota for big guy, okay? In the lane just to please Pat. Like, you know, like they got, I mean, like Kevin Love can play still. The fact that he's not, you know, a traditional five is fine. Now we're on the Nerlens Noel kick. I'll just say this about Nerlens Noel. Lots of teams have passed on Nerlens Noel over the past 3 years. I know, Greg, you've talked about him yeah, quite a bit. I'll go to Brady on this one. What would you look for in a backup five? Cause I don't know that they can expect Kevin to play at this level next year. We didn't think he was going to play at this level this year. So what would you go get that would be in support? Not to play with Bam, because we know Spo's not going to do that. And it looks like Jovich is the solution there, at least on a short minute basis. What kind of backup big would you get behind Bam?
I mean, I think that you need one of the two of spacing or switchability. Like, you can't have neither. And it feels like for the past few years, they've had neither behind Bam. So if you can find somebody that can, like, ideally provide both, but at least provide one, I feel like would kind of be just kind of a big, you know, nod for Spo to utilize the guy and feel comfortable with it, just because there's a factor there where he can kind of work them into one of the sides of the ball. But I know we're going on a backup big tangent, and like I know I mentioned the Thomas Bryant stuff, but like, let me also just say, like, that this was not like a top five reason they lost this game.
No,
like this game is not on Thomas Bryant. This game is
the starting five was a bigger issue than the back five in terms of determining this.
Put that into some context.
But it would be nice if they had a guy that they could go to for a few minutes where they wouldn't feel like you had to rush Bam back on the floor. Maybe when he's out of rhythm, and you could actually go with someone else for a period of time, and they just don't have that guy. Look, I would take – you can't now because he's 45 years old and he's running like a Canadian Olympic team or something. I'd take a guy like the Warden back. Seriously, like, Greg, like, if they got a Joel Anthony as a backup five, like, that would be fun.
You know,
like,
who you the mentioned, like,
the modern day Joel, like, I mean, maybe with better hands, hopefully. Well, yeah, Biombo is the, well, they got him paid once, but yeah, he's with the team right now. But yeah, like, just, you know, at least he'd give you the switchability, not the shooting. But that's all they need. They need a guy to run around and just be in the right place and create some havoc and get some offensive rebounds and not kill you. And I don't, you know, Thomas Bryant seems like a nice guy. But there's a Denver played DeAndre Jordan ahead of him.
Yeah. And they gave him a player option. Let me remind everybody. So Thomas Bryant will be back. And so that's also why it wasn't so easy to just dump his contract. And Orlando Robinson is, they basically bet on one of those two guys to pop, and one of those two guys has not popped. And so,
why have they not been able to develop bigs? Other than they're going to tell me they developed Bam, but I'm sorry, he's the 14th pick of the draft. We're past that point.
Oh,
okay. But this is a fair question, okay? Because they have developed at every other position. They found these guys, right? Shooters, Strus, Robinson. We'll see what Swider becomes. You know, point guards, maybe not as much, okay? But Gabe was a developmental project, obviously. They found these tweener-type guys like Caleb and Highsmith, right? Jamal Cain looks like, okay, he's a functional NBA player when they've given him some opportunity. They have had they've had a bad run of bigs. Like, they don't – who's the last big that they – like, that they
developed? Can I jump in on this?
Willie Reed?
I think, to me, what stands out when you try to, you know, do this, like, exercise comparing, you know, the caliber of players that they've tried to develop, you know, as like a fringe big over the years, even going back to the big 3 years, if you want to, you know, go back to there. We know all the
Mikal
guys.
Gladys, you mentioned the other day, Mikal Gladys, yeah. Oh my gosh. Dexter, like, Pittman.
There's so many
the bigs. The ghost of Eddie Curry, out. Greg Oden.
Exactly. All that. I think, and now when you're talking about guys like Orlando and Thomas, to me, what separates them from the other, like, undrafted type of players that they've developed over the years is that they don't have one skill that I'm looking at, like, okay, you can build off of that. Yeah. And I'm not trying to trash them at all. I'm not saying, like, they have no skill. So I'm not saying that. It's like, usually the other guys, I feel, for the most part, have, like, you know, what they're really good at, and then you try to build off of that, or at least what they can theoretically be really good at, right? And with Orlando and Thomas, it's just like a blank slate. You're just trying to throw them in as, like, this slot them in type of center, screen and roll. I don't think, and this is the problem with the backup center big for them, it's like Brady was talking about, switchability or spacing. To get both is nearly impossible with, like, the type of backup bigs they go after, which are, like, better minimum type of guys, right? And then if you're getting a guy, let's say that, like, Biombo was out there and you picked him up, right, because he can protect the rim a little bit. You know, he's okay. I think he's better than what they have right now, right? Let's say that was out there. I think he still takes up a lot of space in the paint because he's going to be screening and rolling. And I don't think, I don't know if they need another one of those guys. Like, I would absolutely take Biombo over what they have right now. But to me, like, you want another spacing big because you're probably not going to be able to find a switchable one, you know, at that, like, contract slot that you've been giving backup fives.
Unless you draft one.
And there you go. I was about to get to that. And they don't have their first rounder this year, right? Oh, they do.
No, okay. They do.
There you go. And their second rounder.
Oh, one of those got to be a big, right?
Yeah, right. No, but that's the thing. They tried with Precious, right? They did try.
That was your last guy that they tried to position.
They tried, but I think it's fair to say, and this comes in, and I mentioned him earlier, Joel Anthony is probably the last big that they've developed out of nothing, right?
Oh, okay, like, I know Bam isn't at that same level. I know we're talking about two different.
I'm not giving you Bam. Bam's a top half of the first round pick. I mean, there was a lot more raw material with Bam. I'm talking about, like, they are incredible at finding wings and guards that are, and shooters who are NBA players who nobody thought was an NBA player. But as far as bigs, they haven't found that guy. Like, I, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. In look, Jovic is a first round pick with tremendous potential, right? So I, you know, if he develops, obviously they'll get credit for that. But I'm talking about the guy. I'm talking about they have not found a lot of Strus equivalents in the
right
front
side.
Court.
The skill set is not there. And then you look at Hassan.
It's probably Hassan.
If you want to point at Hassan is the guy who had a skill set, and it's like, okay, he's a rim protecting big who can rebound the hell out of the ball. And he used to score inside, like, pretty well, too. Like, he had good touch inside. And I don't feel like you know, they're trying to get, again, this is going to sound disrespectful. I really don't mean it to. They're trying to get bottom of the barrel bigs and find something out of them. And a lot of these guys are bottom of the barrel bigs for a reason. And I don't, and I really do think that's the difference. And Bam, look, Bam wasn't even supposed to go in the lottery. I remember he was outside of that range. I know it's a different conversation. All I'm saying is they definitely deserve credit for Bam, because nobody thought Bam was going to be anywhere near.
Bill Simmons says that's luck anyway.
He does. I'm giving them plenty of credit for Bam. I'm drawing the equivalent to the guys that everybody thought were not NBA players, and they made them into NBA players. And I just don't see the same level of success with the bigs. And maybe it's just harder. But you know, obviously Hassan is a good example of a guy. Yes, that they found, and unfortunately the other stuff with him was not there. But he made a lot of money off of it. He got to feed his fish. So
and now we're at the point where everybody in the comments is talking about, like, oh, they shouldn't have traded Precious. Who is trash and is still trash, by the way. Again, like, I'm sorry, he just hasn't been good in the NBA, but we could talk about that another time. The other thing is, like, Bol Bol, like, people are commenting about Bol Bol. He were never going to draft him.
No, he was not drafted for them. He was not drafted. It's just like the Marcus Thornton pick a bunch of years ago, like, and the Bogdanovich pick. Like, they were drafted, but they were not drafted for them. Those were predetermined trades. They never had Bol Bol other than him being announced for them. That's it. He was always being sent somewhere else. I'll say this, okay? I understand the attraction to Orlando Robinson for them, and I think part of it is he's a Heat player in terms of demeanor, attitude, intelligence.
Yeah.
Like, he fits. Like, he's a bright guy. We've had him on the podcast and all that. But there's obviously some physical limitations there that if Spoelstra's playing Thomas Bryant over him, when we know at this point that Thomas Bryant can't play for them,
bad sign.
It does seem like the Orlando Robinson thing has kind of come to an end. And who knows? I mean, they've had guys develop after we didn't think they could develop. Gabe's a good example of that. Duncan, you know, over and over. But I don't know. I was hoping Orlando Robinson would overtake Thomas Bryant by now, to the point we wouldn't be talking about Thomas Bryant in the last quarter of the season, and we are. And he wasn't the reason they lost. Though Bam and Jimmy,
rather have Orlando take the threes than Thomas.
I agree. I agree with you.
Not that I wanted to take a lot of threes either. But
I'm with you. All right. Anyway, I said 20 minutes tonight. We're at 44. All right. So there you go. We're almost made it to a full game. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Rocky Sports Center. Come join us. Greg will be handling the podcast. And you can just start the next one now, Greg. We've gone long enough. All right. Thanks to our sponsors, A Aggressive Insurance, Rocky Sports, and of course, EricRubenstein.com. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.